Okay. Oh, so I want to introduce you to the idea of neurological levels. Neurological levels is an incredibly useful and powerful model that was created by Robert Diltz based on the work of Gregory Bateson's theory of logical types. So the idea is that the things can exist in different levels of logic. So for example, a cat, Commander Riker, the star of the show, he's number one. A cat is not the same as the category of cats, right? So there's the category of cats, of which Commander Riker is a member of that category. But the category of cats is not the same as a cat. So the category cannot be a cat, and a cat itself cannot be the category of cats. Does that make sense? As far as that things exist on different logical levels. So taking that idea and expanding a little bit, there are different levels of change that we can work with Neuralink, with NLP, and actually many other change work models. So the first level that we might consider is the level of the environment. So this is where and when things happen. So this is where it's kind of the context that you're in terms of where you are, when you are, and what might be going on in the surrounding area. So some types of problems and some types of solutions, some types of change, you could do at the environmental level. Psychogeography-wise, for example, the way the room is arranged, the temperature of the room. There was an example of, there was a huge union management conflict at a meat processing plant. You're all familiar with Hormel meat, okay? Huge, massive union management problem there. So they decided they were going to have this huge meeting. They were going to get all the management folks there and all the union folks there, and they were going to hash all this stuff out. So what they did is they had it in a high school auditorium. The management put themselves in tables up on the stage, and all the workers, all the union folks, were out there in the audience. Okay? So now you start to get this is already going to have an interesting dynamic. And then they hired these really tall, beautiful, statuesque women to hold the microphones. Okay? And so when anybody in the audience wanted to speak, so the woman would walk up, and especially these, you know, some of these were, you know, burly guys that worked in the factory. And so when they would walk up, if he wanted to say something, she'd put the hand on the shoulder and hold the microphone for him. Okay? And if he tried to stand, okay, there'd be this like gentle pressure holding him in his seat, holding the microphone.
Wow.
Okay. Now, it would be unlikely. Now, if it were a man doing that, what would happen? Like, you know, that kind of a thing. But because it was this statuesque woman, they were less likely to do that.
Similar, I went to a Bell South shareholders meeting, big Bell company. Memphis, Tennessee, big auditorium, pitch black, CEO and board on the stage, but they wanted to invite shareholder questions. So what they did was they set up pools of light out in the audience, a television camera in front, two microphones, and you were invited to ask questions at any time.
Wow.
The idea that you'd step out of a totally dark audience, step onto a stage of light with a TV camera in front of you, was they didn't want any questions.
Yeah.
So how, if you're in the audience in the darkness, how do you counter that? Or if you have this beautiful woman holding you down, how do you counter that?
Well, that would be an interesting discussion to have. And the idea here is to keep in mind that the environment is what was driving the dynamics. This was a thing at the environmental level that they set up that I think was pretty problematic, kind of a thing. So the dynamic of, you know, how do you deal with that at the environmental level, we might need an intervention at a higher neurological level to do something different. Now, one way would be, like, if they had arranged it in a more neutral way that honored the relative positions of everybody, then it would have had a totally different dynamic. So the problem and the solution may be an environmental issue. There's also, so at a higher level up, there's, so this answers where and when. The next level, at the behavior level, there's the what. So it's what you do, the actual literal behaviors that you would do. So for some types of problems and solutions and goals, it means a change in behavior of some kind. Oftentimes, health goals, for example, are going to need some kind of change in behavior, a change in eating pattern, a change in activity pattern, something that's going to help make a shift at the behavior level. Rearranging your cupboards could be one type of solution for that. You put the snacks away where they're hard to get to. You actually have to work to get to the snacks. Whereas the healthy, high-nutrient, low-calorie food, you put that at the front of the fridge so you take advantage of the seafood, eat food phenomena. Okay? If it's right there, you grab the most convenient thing. So you could do it at environment, you could do it at behavior. New behaviors to eat better, eat less, eat at different rates, that kind of thing, and then exercise more. And that might shift your health in a fairly dramatic way. There's also the level of capability. So as we're going up the neurological levels here, what part of what's happening is that you're each higher level is, I don't want to use the word control, but it guides the next layer below. So whatever capabilities you have are going to shape your behaviors. And the behaviors that you do are going to have effects in the environment. Is this making sense so far? But behaviors and capabilities are different levels of intervention.
Another way of referring to it is governing levels.
Governing, thank you. That's definitely a better word. So, and the other element as we're going up the neurological levels is that more of you is involved. It's accessing more of your neurology, and that's where the neurological levels comes from. So it's both logical in the sense of these are different categories of experience, but it's also neurology. It's a part of, as you go deeper or up the neurological levels, you're accessing more and more of the person. At the level of capability, capabilities has to do with your skills, your abilities, mental maps, mental strategies. And it answers the question, how? So how do you do that? So capabilities govern an entire class of behaviors. So getting dressed in the morning, for example, there are specific behaviors like putting on pants, putting on shirt, tying shoes. Those are each specific behaviors. But the whole category of behaviors of being able to dress myself, that's a capability. You could think of it in terms of driving as well. Driving involves lots of specific behaviors, but the capability of driving is an entire class, an entire category of behaviors. So that's why capabilities and behaviors are at different levels. Above that, we go into the level of beliefs and values. So this encompasses all of the things that we believe are important, the things that we believe are meaningful, the things that we believe are possible, the things that we believe are possible for us. So for example, you know, it is possible to become a basketball star. I mean, they exist. They're out there somewhere. Do I believe it's possible for me to be a basketball star? Okay. Well, maybe. But I'm a little on the older side, a little on the shorter side, maybe a little on the wider side of basketball stardom. So if I'm going to be a basketball star, it's going to take some significant work in my belief system. Okay. But that's an example of the different kinds of categories of beliefs. So we're exploring beliefs about possibility, about meaning, about self-efficacy, which is what we believe is possible for us, and beliefs about value, what is important, and what's important to seek and what's important to avoid. Above the level of beliefs and values, we could consider identity-level beliefs. And these are the beliefs about who we are as a person. Like how do we define ourselves as individuals, as a unique person? And what's interesting is that, I mean, people identify with all kinds of things. You listen for the to be verbs, is, am, are, was, were, be, being, and been, and all their contracted forms. It's, I'm, you're, there, she's, he's. So listen for that language and you'll hear people's beliefs about themselves. I am an accountant. I am a conservative. I'm a Republican. I'm the kind of person who has family values. Those kinds of statements will reveal a person's identity, what they've identified with. Oftentimes, sometimes people they confuse identity with behavior. And so they'll identify with what they do, like with their work. Or they might identify with a problem behavior and say, I am an alcoholic. I am an addict. And from an NLP perspective, that's a confusion of logical levels. So they've identified with a much smaller class of behaviors, and at the identity level, they're the whole thing. But in their mind, they may have identified with some smaller subset. Like I could say, I'm an Oregonian. I've identified with the environment where I live. I'm an American. Okay? Maybe I'm a mountain person or a coastal person. So I've identified with a place. I could identify with my capabilities and say I'm a black belt, or I'm a tennis pro, or something along those lines. Identifying with beliefs and values, and that's where you get it. I'm a Christian, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Muslim, I'm a conservative, I'm a liberal, whatever your beliefs happen to be. And so sometimes we get these confusions of logical levels, or we identify ourselves as something that's a much smaller subset of the available information. The metaphor I like for that is, if you think of the neurological levels, like we have this idea of parts in NLP, we have different parts of ourselves, and you could think of a tree with many branches, and so each branch is kind of a part. And the issues that are related to that part are like the leaves at the end of the branch. And the branches are connected by thinner branches to thicker branches to thicker branches, and then eventually you get to the root and the trunk and the root of the tree. But there's also the whole tree, right? So sometimes people shrink down and they'll go, I am a parent. And they shrink down into that branch of their tree and identify at that level. And so when the parent part comes out, they engage in parent beliefs and values, parent capability, parent behaviors, parent in where parents do what parents do. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Hair flipping.
Constraining too much or confusion, or is it it's okay to do that? I don't understand. I mean, that you could it's just another way to define yourself, just to look at different elements of your existence and say.
Yeah, so what I'm suggesting here is that the identity level beliefs are they're a category of beliefs in and of themselves, of how people define themselves. And then sharing examples of how people can define themselves in lots of different ways. And some of it may be useful and some of it may not be useful, may not be helpful. It may create confusion or other kinds of limitations. So how many of you hear people say, I'm just not a morning person? Okay? I'm not a morning person. Is that helpful?
No. I'm not a morning
person. Oh, you're not a morning person. Okay.
It would be if it started at noon.
Yeah. Back here first.
I completely see how the levels make sense and how they govern each other and how each one. There's two the capabilities thing, I still have trouble with, and maybe you could help me unwrap this in my mind. I am capable of so much more than my behaviors assume so
right.
much, and I don't see how, because I'm capable of it, that the capabilities are governed. Because it feels like my behaviors are driving rather than what I'm capable of. So just because I have the capability, you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't know how it governs.
I think I can offer you a distinction that'll be helpful. So there's potential. So we might be using capability as meaning potential. I have great potential. I'm capable of lots of things. Capability can also mean, what are my existing skill sets? So I have a certain existing skill set, knowledge, skills, abilities. I can dress myself, I can speak, I can drive, that kind of thing. I have great potential to do many more things, but right now I have the existing set of capabilities that then govern the behaviors that I exist, that I actually do. And does that help if you distinguish what is it that I actually have, my current skills, strategies, mental maps, and that kind of thing, as distinct from your potential?
Well, that's a little bit of a shift, and I guess what I'm wanting is, if I have a particular behavior and I shift my belief, I see how that can shift my behavior. Mm-hmm. Now, if I have a behavior, and even though I have the skill to change that behavior, but I'm not doing it, like, how is capability, could you give me an example of the capability shifting my behavior.
So think of it just in terms straight, what you're doing here now. You're learning new skills, right? You're learning NLP skills. Now, before you learned about like eye accessing cues and sensory words and things like that, if you didn't have those distinctions, if you didn't learn those distinctions, those mental maps, would you be able to generate the behaviors of matching somebody's predicates? So in order to be able to generate that behavior, you need a new capability. So you've already learned a huge host of capability. You know about rapport and mirroring and matching and pacing and leading and sensory acuity. This weekend has been full of gathering more capabilities that's going to allow you to generate a whole new host of behaviors. Does that help?
Yeah. And another one, like behaviors and environment, like grass is always greener. Somebody's unhappy in one city and he moves to another city and they're unhappy again. You change your environment, but your behaviors and all the other stuff is still the same. So that you can have people doing grass is greener, kind of unhappy, dissatisfaction.
Sure. There's a flow that goes up and down the neurological levels. So the idea is that since each higher neurological level governs the one, at least the one below, but that is actually a bigger category than all of them below. So the natural flow of change is sort of down the neurological levels, that if you make a change here at the identity level, it's going to change beliefs and values, capabilities and behaviors. That change is going to cascade through the neurological levels. To go up the neurological levels is possible, but it's a bit like swimming upstream. It's kind of like the fake it till you make it type of thing. I could start changing behaviors, for example, you know, doing some new behavior that I've never done before, and it might then spawn a new capacity, a new skill that would translate into other contexts. I might start thinking, wow, this is cool, it's valuable, I like it. And then I start thinking of myself as a different person, and then I eventually awaken to how this fits with my reason for being, my purpose, which we haven't gotten up here yet. But is that kind of where you were hitting?
Usually I split the branches to different life areas. For example, if I'm a worker, I work, I have a business as well, I have a family, and I have my own personality, my personal needs, and my personal life. And I also I have social life. So basically, I have a specific beliefs and values applied to each branch. And what happens if I bring my work beliefs or my work values over and start to build my family with my work values, I'm going to damage my kids. I can't do that. So I know I have capabilities, but I have to put everything in the right place in order to be productive. Same with behavior. Same with environment. Yeah. It's supposed to be, I mean, your identity is supposed to be right. You have to use part that really works for the environment much.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to.
You explained very well the idea that, you know, these neurological levels give us distinction of going, so where does the problem exist? What is the problem space? You know, is it a problem behavior? Is it a limiting belief? You know, is it that I don't have the skill. I don't have the skill to deal with something. And then where would we find the solution? And oftentimes the solution will come from at least one level above on the neurological levels. So in order to gauge a new capability, I might first need to make it a higher value. So it's got to be important enough for me to go learn something new. And I would imagine you all went through some process of looking at the land of NLP and going, you know, is this worth it? Is this something that's going to be valuable enough to invest the time, the money, the travel, the patience, all of this stuff, to be able to learn this new capability so I can gauge new behaviors in times and places?
And to try on Sunny's question, I'll just do this.
Yeah.
On the top of its head, on head, only because you have acquired new capabilities doesn't mean you change your behavior, because beliefs above that could be in the wrong place still. So
absolutely, they all work together. Yeah. Definitely. So, just let me touch on transcendence here quickly. So transcendence, sometimes we call this the level of mission or the level of spirit, the level of transcendence. Any of those words might work well depending on who you're working with. But it's this sense of our connection to the greater systems in which we live. So and this could be, you could think of my connection to my family, to my neighborhood, to my community, to my environment, to the world itself, to the universe. You could have these widening sort of layers of connection to broader systems of which we're a part. So we start looking at, so who else? Who else am I interacting with, connected with? Who am I influencing or being influenced by? What other lives am I touching? And what's the greater purpose for, if what we're going to work toward here in a moment is the idea that if you could align all of these neurological levels behind a goal or a way of being or some kind of a change, so that you got clear on where and when you want it, have it, you knew exactly what behaviors to do, you had the capabilities to be able to engage those behaviors, you had the beliefs and values that supported that way of being, and that you began to see yourself as the kind of person who would naturally do that, and it supports your reason for being. How magnificent it would be to have that kind of alignment towards something that you want to change. So the neurological levels not only are a model for understanding the different kinds and levels of change, this also gives you a way of making decisions about what kind of a NLP process you're going to do. We have certain processes that are designed to make changes at this level. The natural belief change process, belief chaining, re-imprinting, are designed to work more at this level. Whereas things like, anchoring a resource into a new context or something like that might be more here. New behavior generator, right? At the behavior level. Environment might play in terms of some kind of strategy for arranging space differently or holding your body differently in a particular environment to create other kinds of effects. So there we have, this gives you kind of a framework for doing a lot of different kinds of NLP processes. It's an extremely useful model. I use this model in doing strategic planning with executive teams to have them think about doing change management, for example. Where are the problems? Where are the solutions? Where do we need to put the resources? Do we need to train our people at the level of capability? They need new skills. Do we invest our money into training? Do we need to shift the values of the organization? So if we're going to go green, get it? So if we're going to go green, what do we need to, how do we promote that value within our organization, for example? And who are we anyway? Some of the organizations I work with, people get really identified with their subsections or their division. In youth corrections, there was the detention people and the secure care people. And they were very much identified with that, and they did not regard each other positively. So when do we need to have a shift of identity so that we share a common identity, perhaps? We can bump up, and so we're not us versus them. There, it becomes a we, because we share a common identity. So there's a lot of things that you can do with this.